Welcome to the Waiting on Your Miracle podcast. I'm T.
And this is Shantae.
We're sisters on our fertility journey. Join us as we talk about faith, fertility, and waiting well for God's promises.
Life is full of peaks and valleys, but you don't have to walk through them alone. Tune in weekly to discover what God has in store for you.
Be encouraged, live in faith, and hold on to hope as you wait on your miracle.
Hi, and welcome to the Waiting on Your Miracle podcast. I'm T.
And I'm Shantae.
And we are so excited. This is our first episode. Yay. So thank you for joining. Yay. If you are joining us, I just wanted to first start off by introducing myself. And then Shantae is going to also introduce herself. Again, my name is T, but if you're very observant, you probably see Trisha T. I'll be getting into that a little later. I do go by T. My sister and I here, Shantae, we started this podcast, and I'm going to tell you, it actually started when we were speaking on the phone. Shantae and I have some really amazing conversations about our fertility journeys, and it was just natural. We started talking over coffee in the morning, and suddenly the Holy Spirit gave me this revelation, like, you need to start a podcast. And I'm like, really? Start a podcast? You and sister need to start a podcast. So I actually mentioned it to her over our coffee conversations in the morning. And here is the birth of Waiting on Your Miracles. This is about inspiring and uplifting you on your fertility journey. And it literally just started amongst two sisters having conversations.
Yes, I'm super excited for this podcast. And like T said, we're both sisters. It's kind of crazy. We're born on the same day, exactly 5 years apart. So we're kind of like it's a weird Freaky Friday, Tia Tamara type thing. But we've both been on a journey to grow our families for several years now. And we've just been talking in the morning just about everything about life, but then also just starting to talk about where we are in our journeys, praying for each other, encouraging each other, speaking life into our situation. And yeah, like T said, we were just one day, I was going about something and then I was sweeping my kitchen and she's just like, let's start a podcast. I was like, yeah, let's do it. I mean, I don't know why, I just had no hesitancy. Our heart is just really to share what we're experiencing, share breakthroughs we've had, to encourage other people. We want to have guests on here and just let it be a very uplifting time, kind of invite people in to join the conversation amongst sisters. So like if you were a fly on the wall in one of our conversations, we just wanted to take it from the phone to be able to talk on this podcast and share with other people who could be encouraged by what we have to say.
Absolutely. So that's where we started this. It wasn't something that we said, oh, we're going to do this because we want to do this for ourselves. It's just all led and just having a conversation about this journey. It's a lot in it. So with that being said, we wanted to jump in and just share what we've been going through, like who we are, our husband's names, how long we've been on this journey, just the basic things that's happened throughout this time. Because you, if you're listening, you know that this is quite a bit of a journey. I'll start off by saying that I've actually been married since 2011 to my best friend. He is my rock and my life partner, and I'm so thankful for him. I would like to talk a little bit about how Mark and I met. I was not looking for him and he was not looking for me. What ended up happening was I went to work one day. I was a sample girl. You remember those sample girls? You know, you hand out the little crackers and the juice and all that. Oh, yeah. So I was one of them sample girls. And this guy comes up to me, older gentleman, and he says, hey, and he's just hanging out at my table. He's drinking all the juice. He's eating all the crackers. He's just hanging out at my table and talking with me. And I'm thinking, okay, all right, you're going to buy anything? Because you're definitely taking a lot of samples. So he was just talking with me. And then he asked, are you single? I'm thinking, oh boy. Oh, he's like, my son could really use a good woman in his life. And I was thinking, what's wrong with your son? So anyway, he's like, can you give me your number? I'm going to give it to my son. And I couldn't think of a fake one. So I gave him the number. And I thought to myself after I left, I'm like, oh, geez, I don't know what's going to happen. But okay. So about 3 months later, I received a phone call. And it was Mark. And he's like, hi. So I know this is really weird, but my dad, he gave me your number.
Blind date.
blind date. Blind date, right? So I'm just saying, okay, hi, how are you? And then we've just been talking on the phone for 3 months. We hadn't seen each other. So this is before, I mean, social media was a thing, but then it wasn't because I didn't use it. He didn't use it. And it was a lot different back in the day. We talked on the phone for 3 months and then he kind of slid it in there and he was like, you know what? I would love to put a face to your voice. Why don't you send me a picture? I'll send you a picture. He sent me a picture. I was like, child, he looks good. I sent him a picture and he told me later, he's like, yep, she's nice. I like
it. That's the one.
That's the one. So we finally met for our first date and we were able to just really connect. And from that day on, we saw each other every day. We were together for a year and we got married. And now we've been married for 13 years. That's how it all started.
Love that.
And we didn't start right away. We waited to start like many people do. So we started in 2015 and y'all will probably relate to this, but we thought it was going to be easy. We said, we're going to get pregnant. It's not going to be an issue. We're going to be fine. In fact, we spent a lot of our lives trying to avoid pregnancy. In the beginning, we were saying, we want to travel. We want to enjoy our marriage together. So we thought as soon as we kind of flicked the switch, everything would just happen. Between 2018 to 2020, I did get pregnant and I suffered three, what they call chemical pregnancies. But you know, a chemical pregnancy is just the same as a miscarriage. It's a loss. It's a lot to take in that really destroyed my spirit for a long time. And I felt that I was spiraling. I felt that I was being punished. I felt the enemy attacking me. And that's something that I carried for a long time. So after much back and forth and struggle, there was this dark phase in my life where I completely backslid. I am a believer, but I spent a lot of my time running away the opposite direction because I felt that the Lord had forsaken me. I felt so alone. I didn't really talk about it. And for even a long time, Shansei knows, I didn't really say much about this at all. I didn't feel that anyone could relate to me, that anyone would understand. And not a lot of people were having that conversation. So I just kind of hid it. Buried myself in my work into different projects, maybe too many, honestly, but I really wanted to shift my focus away from my pain and just bury myself in something to avoid it. My husband was also suffering. Mark has a beautiful spirit, but he went through a lot and he was suffering in silence too. Now, moving forward, in 2021, we decided to undergo IVF. IVF was a decision that we made, and it was a slow movement to IVF because I really wanted to get pregnant naturally. And so I had to, I wouldn't say let that go, but open myself up to the possibilities of something else. I had a couple of things in between that happened that made me decide to make that decision because it's a big decision. And one of those was I needed to check in on my health. So it started off with the fertility screening and kind of see what was happening with my body first. So 2021, I have a dog. Her name is Dory. And if you have a fur baby, you know that They are like your children. If you love animals like me, they're like your babies. They
Yes.
are.
Yes.
Yeah. And so I was so thankful for Dory because Dory really matured me. She was always unknowingly teaching me little tidbits about what it means to be a mother. And that's something you find. I've never had a puppy. Okay. So this was, she was my first puppy, 8 weeks old, just as cute as can be. So to give you a story without derailing this conversation too far, I went to the shelter. I told my husband, I'm going to get a boy dog and I'm not getting a pit bull. And guess what? I left with a female pit bull. So the Lord has a sense of humor, right? Fell in love with her. Such a gentle soul. And in 2020, she was diagnosed with Cushing's disease. And for those who don't know what that is, it's actually caused by a brain tumor. And the brain tumor progresses and the condition gets worse, causing a lot of things. And she started declining. And the vet told us that she would not live past maybe a couple of months. But the Lord kept her. She was struggling in 2021. So in April of 2021, she passed away in my arms on April 17th in our living room. And that was 10 days before my transfer, my IVF transfer. And I was devastated. I was devastated. I looked at it actually as, Lord, you took her away. And I was grieving, but I looked at it almost as maybe there's hope here. Maybe the Lord is going to restore and bring Mark and I, our baby, in light of this. Maybe there's something going to happen. I believed in the signs. So our transfer, for those who don't know how IVF is, you're going to actually do an embryo transfer, which is the baby. And so our transfer date was on April 27th. And April 27th is our anniversary. So I was thinking, oh, wow. So the Lord took my baby home. And then 10 days later, we're going to get this transfer on our anniversary, and the Lord's going to restore. I went in, and then we had the 2 week wait. And you know, 2 week wait is, it's heavy, it's exciting, it's a mix of emotions. There's fear, there's anxiety, there's everything. So I found out that the baby did not stick. And I found that out on Mother's Day.
Wow.
So you can imagine, as everyone's buying flowers and everyone's celebrating mothers, my heart was just completely broken. And I didn't even know how to express it. I had loss after loss, and the experience was so heavy that I did what I always did. I ran away from it. I had a large cry, like a big cry, like a cry where, you know, the snot's rolling down. Like you just go in it and you just cry. I had one of those cries. And then I said, okay, I'm just going to go back to work. And that's what I did. I went back to work, buried myself in it. And my sister actually told me about this group called Moms in the Making.
Yes.
And and she, I'm going to be honest, she told me the first time, and I was like, I'm not going to talk to nobody about my pain. Okay. That's it. I didn't cry. I'm done. I didn't say nothing. I'm running away. Right. And so the first time I just, yeah, I said, no, I'm not joining. She brought it up to me again the next semester because there's semesters and you get to study for those people who don't know about Moms in the Making. It's an in-person support group, also virtual support group. And it's for women who are on this fertility journey, who've had the similar struggles that Shansei and I are going to talk about today, and just want a community of women that can support them and pray with them. And it's also faith-based. That's a beautiful thing. So she told me about it again. And you know, the Holy Spirit was like, you need to go. And so I signed up and I became a member of Moms in the Making in 2022. And through this process of in the Moms in the Making, right before I joined, the Lord had started to work on me. That's why I joined. And in the beginning, y'all see my name is Trisha T, but I feel the Lord has done a new thing in me. Like he's put me in a place where I've gone through the pain and disappointment, but he's restored pain and disappointment with hope and faith. And when he did that to me, I felt that he changed my name. He changed my name and he changed the person that I am. I used to be a control freak and I used to be a real anxiety-driven person. I was mad at the world, mad at myself. All of these things that happened to me created this really hard person. And the Lord changed me. So just like how he changed names in the Bible, he changed Abram to Abraham, Sarah's name was changed. A lot of names were changed. And so nowadays, I go by T. This is a simple name most everyone can remember, but most importantly, it's deeper than just a name for me. So Moms in the Making has shown me and given me hope. And after receiving that hope, I have literally felt not only empowered, but I felt one, I felt that the Lord did not forsake me like I felt in the beginning, and that I am on this journey, this not infertility, but fertility journey, and the Lord will definitely do what he said he will. And so that's something that that I can share about my journey. And now that I've shared my journey, Shansae, do you want to share yours?
Well, of course. But yeah, I just want to just thank you for just opening your heart. And I know some parts of your story weren't easy. And obviously we knew we'd have to be sharing things about our personal lives coming to this podcast and being vulnerable. But yes. I just want to just acknowledge your pain and just say I resonate with you. I've definitely felt that feeling of feeling like you're being punished. You want something so bad. And as Christians, we serve a God who he can do anything, right? So then it makes you wonder, like, why is this not happening for me? And what's going on? It makes you feel like you've done something wrong. And even historically, like with religion and just different legalistic versions of religion, you think back in the day, if women didn't have children or they were deemed barren, it would always be their fault, right? Or something's wrong with them. Or what did they do wrong? They're being punished. But throughout this journey, I've learned that God is not a God that is punishing you and holding on to your past. He's a God of forgiveness. And he wants us to go forth. And it says a lot in his word, and we're going to be discussing that more in detail throughout the podcast, but I just wanted to just commend you for sharing that and just say that I see you. And just for the listeners, if you don't mind sharing how long you've been on this journey and maybe where you are now, because it's interesting that we're both on the end where we haven't received our miracle babies yet. And most of the testimonies and stories I hear are like, oh, it started out this way and we went through this and this was hurtful. And then we got pregnant, but we're still in that journey. And I know a lot of other people are too. So if you don't mind us before I move on with mine, if you just want to share like how many years you were actively like pursuing getting pregnant and like a little bit about where you are now in that journey.
Absolutely. So 9 years we've been on the road to having babies. And we still have the belief and the faith to continue. And I say that's because we've rooted ourselves in the word. For example, one of our favorite scriptures to lean on is Psalm 27:13-14, which is, I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And it also says, wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart. and wait for the Lord.
Mm.
So we're going back into IVF. We've been praying about where to go and letting the Lord lead us. So that's where we are in this journey. And for those who are listening, who are still going through this, this is for you to get encouraged. We haven't seen our miracles yet, but we're waiting and waiting well.
And waiting with hope. We are, yes. We are hopeful and we are anticipating. Because exactly. If it hasn't happened yet, then we've got something to look forward to. And
right. We
will obviously be just getting more into the foundations of what we believe and why. But I'll go ahead and get started with my side of things. So in our household currently, it's my husband, Rayma, and then we've got our adorable little cat, Emma. She's 10. She's a rescue. She's sleeping over here next to me in the chair. She's pretty standard cat business. You have a cat too, T. Lacey, right?
Yes. I feel bad now. I didn't mention my babies too, my fur babies. Yeah, I have a standard poodle. His name is Samson. And then I have my sweet baby Lacey. She's 13. And yeah, she's a cat. And I forgot to tell you, Samson is 2. So he's a little gentleman. He's a 2-year-old.
Yeah.
And then we have 2 budgies, little parakeets. If you don't know budgies, yeah, they just chirp away right now. I'm so glad they're not.
Right. Love it. Love it though.
But yes, absolutely.
I know Lacey's older. Does she, as I was just thinking the other day when I saw Emma, like it's like a weird cat thing. Does she ever just run around the house really fast, like crazy?
Or yep. Not? She still does that.
Okay. Because Emma just does that. I'm like, it's a weird cat thing. Like usually is. After she'll go in the litter box. I don't know if she's trying to run it off or I don't know what's going on. But
yeah, they just do things that, you know, I think cats also kind of stare at you too. They just stare at you.
Yep.
She'll walk past my office. I have a glass door in the office and she'll just look at me like, hey, look, what do you want? Yep. Definitely.
But yeah. So I've got Emma. She's 10. And Joy is our dog. Joy's probably like 6 now. They're both rescues. I kept the rescue names because I felt like they just were their personality. Like Emma is Emma. Joy is so happy. Everyone's her best friend when you come over the house. Love them both. And last but not least is our son, Jordan. He is in 8th grade this year. And I'm going to be sharing more about Jordan and that part of my story in our next episode, episode 2, where we share our faith testimonies, just because Jordan was just such a big part of my testimony and obviously my life. So I'll definitely be sharing more about that. But just getting into our fertility story, Rayma and I got married in 2016 and we met in college. I don't know if I ever told you the story about how we met, T, but I guess I can share briefly for the listeners because it's kind of funny. And it just really was a God thing how we met because we met in college. We were both like juniors. So he was coming from a community college and so was I. But I did not want to go to the school that I ended up going to, Northern Illinois University, NIU. I just did not want to go for whatever reason. It was 30 minutes away from where we lived. And I was like, I don't want to go. I wanted to go to Governor State. I want to go to Governor State so bad. And I ended up going to an orientation there and I didn't like it. And I felt like it was really disorganized. I was like, okay, I guess I'll go to NIU. So I ended up being late registering to NIU. And Ray was late registering too, because he took a little longer getting through community college. So we're both like, we don't have the top pick of classes. So we're in journalism school and we both pick a 8 a.m. basic news writing class. And I'm a morning person, so that's my jam. But Rayma was not. So it's like, had the situation not lined up how it did, he probably wouldn't have picked that class and I wouldn't have been able to meet him in class. But first day of class, everyone goes around and says where they're from. And I guess the teacher wanted us to introduce ourselves, like kind of like stuff you do in like elementary school. But I guess we were still doing it in college. So everyone, it's like a computer in front of everyone's face too. So it's like, I can't really see that well across the room. So I look across the room, I kind of see the side back of his head. And he's just like, I'm Rayma and I'm from Rochelle. And he says Rochelle so different. And I didn't understand what he was saying. And I thought he said Russia. So I was like, oh, okay. We got some foreign exchange students up in here. We got Black Russian. Okay.
Oh my goodness.
I was like, all right, kids from Russia. But we ended up meeting up later, like, because we both wanted to try out for a spot at the newspaper. And I found out he was not from Russia. Rochelle, Illinois, and Russia are completely two different things. But it was a fun way to meet. And we ended up just kind of becoming class friends. And then we met in 2012. So then we started dating that following year in 2013. We got married on our 3rd year anniversary in 2016. So some people like have a relationship anniversary and a wedding. Ours is the same day. So it's very easy for us to remember that date. But when we got married, we knew right away that we wanted to grow our family, have more kids. I already had Jordan at the time, and Rayma was just stepped right in, stepped right up to parent him, as he's always just been a good father to Jordan. But we knew early on that there was some male factor things that were going on, and that it may not be as easy for us to conceive. So that was kind of in the back of my head. But I'm going to be honest, and a lot of people don't talk about this. When we got married, that 1st year was very hard. And I struggled a lot. We struggled a lot in our relationship. No one did anything like drastically wrong intentionally. It was just so hard, I felt like. And I felt like we just almost didn't make it that 1st year. It was a struggle thinking about how he came from a certain background and ways of doing things. I came from a certain background, and trying to understand each other, trying to communicate, and just not really knowing how. I also just don't have a great example of what I'm supposed to do in a marriage or what a marriage looks like. So there's just a lot of misconceptions, expectations in there. My parents, were divorced, separated, and I just never really saw like what I should do or be in a marriage. So it was really hard. And on top of that, you're newly married. Everyone's like, how's married life? How is it going? And I'm just like, ugh, like, stop talking to me about it. But we made it through that 1st year, and that was one of our hardest years. But after that, things did start getting better, and we definitely have felt so much closer. And I'd say we got serious about conceiving, though, in 2018. So that's when we started trying to see, like, what can we do? We started doing like time cycles, and that can be kind of stressful because, like, as you know, it's timing and everything is based off the woman's cycle. So technically, according to that schedule, you only have 12 times a year that you can try to get pregnant. And then Rayma had tried some medication and some things we'd heard about, but none of that really worked. We actually, God put it on my heart to foster. So we both got licensed at the end of 2019. We ended up fostering from 2020 to 2022. And we had two placements. Our second placement were these two boys that they were 3 and 5. There were some brothers when they came to us, and we kept them for 18 months. And it was just really unlike anything I'd ever experienced fostering. Some people looking from the outside in think, oh, well, you're fostering kids and you're going to be able to adopt them. They're going to be part of your family. Yes, they are part of your family, but the goal of fostering first is reunification with the birth family. And we were definitely told that in training, so we knew what to expect. So if there is no connection with the birth family, or if the birth family does not want to take the children, then the foster parent has an option to adopt or do a more long-term placement. But we learned a lot with our boys. They were super fun, super rowdy, lots of ups and downs, lots of just prayer and just leaning on God to help me. Sometimes I felt like just not knowing what to do with certain things. And then I think all kids have trauma from just growing up, even in a household with their birth parents, but foster kids also have a different type of trauma. So trying to deal with that. But I would definitely do it again. And it was just an amazing time in our journey, and something that we really wanted to do because I've always had a heart to just help children feel safe. And we had that extra room in our home, and it was just a blessing to have our boys. We ended up moving to Tennessee from Illinois in 2022. If the birth mom wasn't on track to get them back, like, she was very close. She was basically taking them for the weekends, and it was set to, she was doing what she had to do to get her boys back. But if it had been different, I would have definitely took those boys with me, and we would have adopted them, but we understand that season in our life, and we were just super happy and blessed to experience that. It's also kind of funny, like little pictures of them are still in my phone and just memories lingering around. We took our tent out to go camping recently, and when we opened it up to air it out, there was a little Mickey Mouse toy in there from our youngest one, and he loved Mickey Mouse's. Everything was Mickey Mouse. He probably thought he was Mickey Mouse. Mickey Mouse toy, Mickey Mouse underwear, Mickey Mouse clubhouse, everything. But they loved camping. They wanted to go camping for their end of the school year activity. So Rayma camped in the backyard with them. So that's how that got there. But in the midst of fostering, while we were doing that from 2020 to 2022, we also still had a heart to be pregnant. So we did take our first fertility consult in 2021. And for me, that was hard because I had some fear and some trauma surrounding doctors. I had abnormal pap smears in my mid-20s, and I had to actually get a procedure done so that I wouldn't develop cervical cancer. So, and the biopsy and all that stuff was just really traumatic for me. And like you said, T, like, I just didn't want to even have to think about medical treatments or IVF. I just was like, God, please do this the natural way. But when we went to that fertility consult in 2021, they basically told us that there's a very thin chance, if at all, that you will get pregnant naturally, and you will definitely need to do IVF. Like, that's your first option. Like, none of the other stuff, like time cycles, IUIs, they're like, no, go straight to IVF. So I was devastated when I heard that, because I don't think anybody wants to do IVF from that standpoint. And especially, it's very expensive. It's very emotional. It's a lot. And I just kind of paused. I was just like, I don't want to do that right now. I felt really angry, and all the emotions of why me and why do I have to go through this, and the woman has to do all this stuff to herself with IVF, you know, like, it's not fair. So I kind of was just wrestling with God and wrestling with that and just hearing that and wondering, like, God, is this the direction you want us to go in? So putting that aside, I actually started going to therapy for a completely different reason in 2021, because I was trying to restore a relationship with someone who was close to me, and I just really needed to talk to someone. So I started talking about our fertility journey, and then our therapist recommended that I join something called Moms in the Making. I had no idea what it was. I wasn't looking for it. I wasn't looking online for people going through what I was going through, but I'm so happy that I did sign up for Moms in the Making and start going to a local group in my area. At that time, there was only one group in Illinois, and I drove 50 minutes to get there. I was just so hungry to just be comforted and hear God's truth and just be surrounded around other people who knew what was going on, because this journey can make you feel isolated and make you feel locked out, because other people are having kids and they're talking about their kids and they have stuff to connect over, and you don't, because you don't have little babies and you don't have that experience. So it can make you feel isolated and left out. So I was so happy to join Moms in the Making. In the first group, I remember we talked about surrendering, and that's something that I'd never thought about before, because like you said, T, like, I was like that too. I wanted to control everything. I had a plan. I knew what we were doing. I wanted to have kids by 30. I had this plan, and it just didn't work out that way. It says in Proverbs that, you know, man sets the way they should go, but that's not always the path. That's not always what God has for your story. God is going to bring everything together, and he does mean good for you and want to prosper you, but just trying to control every little aspect, it's probably not in my best interest. So that was really interesting, thinking about surrendering this journey to him. I had never thought about that before, and trusting him. That was something that I also struggled with. So I ended up going to Moms in the Making conference, because we also have a conference every year that's just amazing and just wonderful for breakthrough. I went there. I experienced healing from fear and anxiety, and that was amazing deliverance, because I had struggled a lot in my life. And like I mentioned, with the medical trauma, and I just started to see God unpack layers in my story and just free me up from the baggage that I was carrying and the bondage and the shame. I didn't realize certain things. Like, I just was like, I want this baby, but God wanted to heal me in so many other ways. And that's what a good father does. you think about a parent who loves you. They want to be able to help you in every aspect of your life and prosper you and grow you. And I didn't realize that right away. And so with this podcast being called Waiting on Your Miracle, it is important. And this is a huge aspect of our lives. But I just wanted to say that throughout this journey, I've learned that, yes, we want children and I want a baby, but that's not everything. That's not going to change and heal me. That's not my identity as a mom. My identity is in Christ. And there's so many other areas of my life that God wants to come in and heal and restore and work through. So joining Moms in the Making has been such a blessing for me in terms of just connecting with that fact, and identifying certain truths about myself and going through this, and also just refocusing, like, who am I putting my hope in? These stories that we're sharing might seem hopeless to just a person off the street, but we are sharing this because we have hope, we have expectancy. And when I decided to surrender my journey to him, that's where that light kind of went off in my head and in my spirit as well. So also in 2021, I guess God worked in my heart to kind of soften my heart toward doing IVF. This was something I did not want to do. Like I said, I think you guys get that by now. But I started being challenged in my thoughts and wondering if I had an idea of how I wanted God to bless us. And I thought, well, if you do this naturally, that's where you'll get the most glory. That's where I can testify and be like, yeah, God did this for me. But why would we have to use the doctors and the medicine, all these things? And I just heard the Holy Spirit say, well, I can do whatever I want. I could do this anyway. And who am I to tell how our story is going to come about? Like, I know I have this promise and we're believing for children, but I can't say how it's going to happen and in what manner. And that's the beauty of trusting God, because he works in so many different ways. Even in with the story of Joseph in Genesis, like, who would have thought that all this stuff would happen with Joseph, and he would go to slavery, he would go to jail and all these things. And then look at his story and how it worked out for God's glory and what he went through. So like, I learned through this journey that I can't put limits on God and say how he's going to do certain things. And maybe going through IVF was something that can help me heal from that medical trauma and fear I had, because I realized I didn't want to do it. But why I didn't want to do it was because deep down, I was carrying shame. I was carrying hurt. I was carrying fear. I didn't want to do it because I was afraid. And I didn't feel worthy of becoming a mother again. These are things that I really had to work through in my heart. We started doing treatments in 2022, the following year, and we had a retrieval in May. Everything was smooth. I survived, you know, and we had our first transfer in July. And then we went on to transfer two more embryos in September, I think, at that time. And I was devastated when that first transfer failed in July, because like UT, I was expecting it to work. There's so much time, energy, money, effort you put into this. And I felt like I had heard God say, this is the way to go. And we were provided the finances for IVF. That was the big thing. I was like, we didn't have to pay. We didn't have to stress out. We didn't have debt. The medicine is so expensive. And in Illinois, where we did it, there's a mandate to cover IVF, but deductibles are high and there's certain ways around that. So we had a high deductible, and that was something that I felt like God had blessed us with the finances, where I was like, well, if you did this, Lord, that means this. So again, I was putting more and more expectations and trying to predict and play chess with God and see what he was going to do. Unfortunately, the first transfer did not take. And when I tested and found out, I was completely devastated and just hurt and disappointed. And with IVF, you go in 10 days after you get the blood test. They tell you if you're pregnant or not. A lot of women test earlier. So I tested around 7 days, and I tested again, and both tests were negative. And what hurts even more, a bigger stab to the heart, is that you have to, if you test on your own, it's negative, you still have to go back into the doctor, show your face, get the blood work done, and then have them call and tell you that you're not pregnant. So that was very hurtful. And after the second transfer that we did two embryos. So we were out of embryos after that because the other ones didn't survive the thaw because we did frozen embryo transfers. They retrieved the eggs, they fertilized, made embryos, froze them, and then they would thaw them for each transfer. So we had two transfers in 2022. Neither worked. At that point, we had moved officially to Tennessee. I was driving back and forth to Illinois on top of everything, finishing up treatment. And the doctor was like, well, we can try one more time. I don't know why. I don't know. Everything else looked great. I'm not sure. And at that point, I was just like, well, I've technically moved. I don't want to keep traveling like this. Jordan's starting school. I need to settle on my life in Tennessee and I need to have time to heal and process this. So we took the rest of that year off. Then we started up again with IVF in 2023, last year, and we were going to a clinic in Huntsville, Alabama. And again, God provided the finances for us so that we did not have to pay. We did not have to get into debt. It was just we had the money and the savings. We would dedicate it to appointments, travel, whatever we needed, get our medicine. And again, I prayed and I was at a place of peace. It was a big transition from hearing from the first consult and feeling that fear and trauma, and then just being at peace with doing IVF. So I definitely was at peace when we were doing all of this. But unfortunately, we did a transfer in, I think it was October of last year, and that one did not work either. Then we ended up using our other last two embryos from that cycle in November, and that did not take either. So all in all, we've done four IVF transfers and gone through six embryos, and that's six. I see them as lives because they're unique DNA that can't be created again, and future children that we could have had that we will meet one day. But it was just very devastating to go through six failed implantations. So that was really hard on me. And I just remember going to my next Moms in the Making conference and just going with a broken heart and feeling like I did something wrong and something I didn't hear right, or I'm second guessing that I did hear from God, or just kind of crying out. I think I spent some time just mourning and just crying out and just asking God, like, where are you in this pain? Where are you? Do you care? Did you know this was going to happen? Like all these things. And it was really sweet that he met me again at that conference. And the first time I went, it was the fear and the anxiety and the deliverance from that. The second time I went, I left with a takeaway. And they give you these cards that someone writes over you, and they don't really know you, but it's so beautiful because it's the Holy Spirit that guides them to give you that message. I don't have it with me, or else I would read it. But it was basically just explaining how God sees what I'm going through and he's there, and it hurts him too. Like, think if your parent saw you suffering, would they not feel in pain? So I started to develop my relationship more with God, and I don't want to say humanize him, but so many people think of God as just this big person that's judging you and all this stuff, but he wants relationship with us, and he knows. And he cares. He cares about the things that we go through. He cares about the pain and the suffering. And I really felt comforted. And like I received an answer, because like I said, I was crying out and just asking, like, God, do you hear? Are you there? And I
Wow.
received an answer. So he's not one to not speak to us and not comfort us. The Bible also talks about those who mourn will be comforted. So I definitely left feeling comfort and feeling peace. And I guess that takes us to where we are now. I still don't have our pregnancy, obviously, but this is a testimony to me because it has led to so much breakthrough. And I've learned how to trust God and how to take this weight and use it, just like how God is working. And even though my situation and my circumstances are not different or what I want them to be, to a Christian person, that doesn't carry a lot of weight because God is still working. We see what's in front of us, and God sees the whole span of time. So he knows what's going to happen in our future. He knows when we're going to have kids. He knows what the plan is. You know, T and I, we have a younger set of sisters, and maybe we're all going to get pregnant together and have kids around the same time. I mean, you just don't know. So throughout this, my testimony and where I'm at now, we are waiting, we are praying, we are just making sure that health and checking little things and really just waiting on direction. If God tells us we're going to go back into IVF, we will. And at that point, I'm going to be praying that he provides the finances again, because he did twice. So why wouldn't he do it again? Or if God is going to bless us a different way, I'm open to that. I'm just waiting to hear and just quiet my spirit for the next direction. But throughout this, I feel like I've developed a deeper relationship with the Holy Spirit and learning what it means to wait and hear from God. I went into this wanting a baby. I joined Moms in the Making support group, but I'm learning that God is going to do so much more in my life. And I'm speaking this over you too, T. And throughout this journey, my marriage has also been restored. We've grown closer. We've been able to comfort each other. Sometimes this journey can tear people apart, but we've seen the opposite with us. And I've seen my husband just grow so much in his faith. Shame and fear has fallen off of me. I never thought I would live a life without that intense fear and anxiety. It was over me like a coat, and I did not know how to shake it off. But that shame and fear has fallen off of me. And I feel so much freedom. I also have a confirmation of God's promises. So we're still contending, but I know that he's going to grant the desires of my heart. And we've had confirmation in so many ways that his heart is for children. And he put these desires in my heart and I prayed over them. And he's not a God that would tease you with something or dangle a carrot in your face. Think about how our earthly parents would, good parents would want to love and help us and do things for us. And like with Jordan, like if I say I'm going to do something for him, I'm going to do something for him. So how much more is our Heavenly Father going to do something for us? We just have to believe and trust in him. But that's my story. That's where I'm at now.
Wow. And you know, when you said that the shame is gone and I don't wear that like as a coat, I was thinking about Isaiah 26:3, where the word says, "You'll keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you."
Yes.
And that is where we are now. And just leaning on these truths, God is faithful.
Yes.
And it's very hard to say when you're in it sometimes, but you have to remember, if you look at things that happened in your life, God has always been there. He's always delivered. We just want things to happen the way we want things to happen. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's where we allow our expectations of what should happen get in the way of God's will.
Yes. So I just want to cut in real quick. It's easy to say that God is good and God is faithful when everything is going well in your life and you're being blessed and you're getting the things that you want when you want them. But it takes a different level of faith to say God is good when you don't see the fruit in your life, when you are struggling, when you are disappointed. But that is the moment when your character is built, your trust is built, you're building your relationship with him. And it's not based on circumstantial. Oh, you're good to me, God, so I'm going to love you.
Yeah.
Like, no. Yeah. Do you love your husband when he's good to you? Do you love your pets? You know, you told me that. Did you tell me your cat peed on your shirt?
Yes. Oh.
Do you still have to love? Yeah. Do you have unconditional love?
Yes. I have unconditional love for that baby. Cause boy.
Yeah.
She peed on that shirt. I was thinking in my head, I was like, but you know, I love my baby regardless. And that's true. We can't have this conditional love. This is one thing that I would say, Lord, I need to be, you mentioned this too, Sean, say, I need to be pregnant by this time, by this age. Why haven't I been pregnant by this time? Those little questions, like you said, I was saying, Sean, say, you mentioned 30, you want to be pregnant before 30. My marker was like, listen, I want to get my degrees. I want to do this. And this is when I need to be pregnant. So like, let's get off of this. Let's do this. Like, come on. And by the end of the year, have you ever found yourself saying, I need to be pregnant, Lord, I want to be pregnant by Christmas. You know?
Yes. Yep.
I want to be pregnant by Christmas. Okay. I want to be able to have that belly and tell people, hey, guess what? The Lord has done. But you know, even in testimony, We started off by talking about we don't have our miracle yet. And the key word is yet, right? But we actually have a testimony still. The testimony is the healing. The testimony is the restoration. The Lord doing work within us. Because just to have this podcast right now, to be able to talk, to be able to sit down and have this conversation, that is a testimony. Because like Shanse mentioned, we're not walking in shame. We're sharing our stories with you at this point. The Lord is working.
Yes.
And it doesn't have to be the way in which we see it, because the Lord has us all within his hand. And when we start walking more in our faith, we'll start seeing that Lord will deliver and provide. We're already speaking it. Shanse said, Lord, we know because you provided the finances before, you're going to provide them again.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we have so enjoyed getting to share more of our heart, more of our journey with you all. And we're super excited for this podcast and all the people who are going to listen and whoever this is going to touch. We are super just expectant and excited. Before we sign off, I just wanted to share a few just beliefs that we have and just foundational things so that when you hear us talking and sharing our experiences, you understand where we're coming from and just certain foundations and truths that we've come to believe. So just a quick run through of things. So we believe that God's word is living and true, obviously. So we're going to reference that throughout these episodes. We also believe that infertility doesn't come from God, and it's the result of living in an imperfect world where sickness and disease do occur. People do get sick and things happen. We all know this, right? And you'll notice that we tend to not use the word infertility. We'll say things like fertility journey instead, or walking through fertility, because our words have power and authority. And Jesus taught this in the New Testament when he cursed the fig tree, right? And also in Proverbs 18:21, it says death and life are in the power of the tongue. So we don't speak infertility over ourselves or anyone else. But this doesn't mean that we're in denial or we deny our current circumstances or what the doctors say. It is a medical issue and we acknowledge that, but our final hope is not in the doctors or the treatment or the medicine. We're putting our trust entirely, ultimately, in the Lord and not in the circumstance of the doctor. But we do obviously acknowledge that this exists. And then we also just believe that it's God's heart for all to be fruitful and multiply, as it says in Genesis 1:28 and in Psalm 113:9, he gives the childless woman a family, making her a happy mother. So if we believe that God's word is true, then we believe what it says in the word. So with that said, we are not theology experts. We're still learning and growing in our faith. And we just encourage you to line everything up that you hear with the word of God and pray on it and just engage with the Holy Spirit as well as you listen to the things that we have to say. Our heart isn't to just discuss like what to do, what not to do. We're not going to have interviews with doctors or fertility experts and like 10 tips to get pregnant. Our heart is to share our personal experiences and how we've stayed encouraged, to share the faith, the hope. We also want to bring on other people and share their perspectives, their testimonies. We're going to do some other like more lighthearted episodes. And we understand that even if you're not on a fertility journey, you may be waiting on another miracle. And a lot of the stuff we're talking about can relate to you and be able to encourage you, because there's so many areas of our lives that maybe you're looking for breakthrough in another area, or you're looking for healing or things like that. So we just want to walk alongside you and just be able to uplift your day with this podcast. So if you would like to follow us, you can follow us on Instagram. We have an Instagram profile right now called Waiting on Your Miracle. There's also a link on Instagram if you want to sign up for emails and just be notified when new episodes come out. Since this is a new podcast, please, please, please rate and review us, okay, please, on Apple and other podcast platforms. And that would just mean the world to us. If you like this episode, please share it. Make sure that you give us a review. Also, if you have any questions or feedback or something that you want to discuss with us or ideas for a future episode, feel free to email us at admin@waitingonyourmiracle.com.
just to chime in there to tell you guys, this is a conversation amongst sisters. And what we're doing here is we are just having a dialogue as if we were just sitting at the table with one another. You're going to hear us just share some stories and maybe you can relate to them. And that's what this is. So it's going to be a more laid back environment here. You guys are our sisters at the table with us, having a cup of coffee. So that's what this is about. And we do speak life. Yes. That's why we don't use certain words. And we're aware that this week is National Infertility Awareness. And we know that's the wording there. But here we speak life because we believe in the power of life is in our tongues. We're going to close out with a scripture. And this one for today is Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So wherever you go on your journey, being courageous in it is what we are encouraging you to do.
Amen. Amen to that. Thank you again for taking some time out of your day to listen to this podcast. We just pray that you be encouraged. And take care, and we will see you on the next episode.
Bye.
Bye.